Today's shiur is Masechta Nazir Daf Mem Beis. We will begin on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, the top line. The Gemara reverts back to quote the Mishnah that we discussed in the that we learned on Daf Mem Amud Aleph, and the Gemara goes back also to what we learned on Masechta, the Mishnah the Gemara quoted from Masechta Nagoyim, Perek Yudal Mishnah Dalad. The Mishnah said that there are three people who the Torah tells us have to take a haircut, a Nazir, a Metzaira, and Levium. And the Mishnah says, Kulam, all these individuals, Shagilchu Shalai Batar, if they took their haircut, but they didn't use a razor, or when they took their haircut, they left over two hairs, Layasu Leklum, they have not fulfilled the mitzvah. Even though they've cut most of the hair, still, Ruba Kekula is not going to be acceptable in these cases. Even though B'chala Tara Kula, we know that Roiv is enough. If you have majority, it's adequate. In this case, the halach is the Ruba Kekula will not be satisfactory. And that's what the Gemara immediately says. Amar of Acha Berei Deravika Soy Samaris, based on this Mishnah that we learned that when a Nazir cuts his hair, it's inadequate if he just cut most of his hair. He has to remove all of his hair. We learned that Ruba Kekula, the Raisa, the Halacha that under normal circumstances we can rely on a Roiv, is a Deraisa. And the Gemara explains itself. Mamai, what teaches us this Halacha that we normally do say Ruba Kekula? Me the Gali Rachmana Gabi Nazir, because when we learned the pasuk about the Nazir taking his haircut, and the pasuk says v'gilach roishoy, he has to cut the hair on his head, and then the Torah continues saying v'yoyim hashvi yigalchenu. Why is it necessary for the Torah to repeat itself by saying v'yoyim hashvi yigalchenu? The Torah just said v'gilach roishoy. Explains the Gemara hacha to teach us that by a Nazir is where the Torah requires that all of the hair must be removed. Haba'ama, in other situations, we can rely on Ruba Kekula. So the Maritz Chayis asks a question. The Gemara is saying that this that we say Ruba Kekula is something that we learn from this halacha that we're learning now by Nazir. So ask the Maritz Chayis, Ruba Kekula is a halacha in the Torah. Doesn't the Torah teach us that Achi Rabim Lahatos, that we always follow the majority? So why is the halacha that, why do we need a special pasuk to teach us that we, why do we have the special ruba, the limud, that ruba kekulai? So the Maritz Chayis answers, the halacha of Achi Rabim Lahatos is a halacha that's stated by a bezdin. That the bezdin, that the halacha teaches us, we follow the majority, and we need not pay attention to the minority. There, that's where we learn the halacha of Ruba Kekula. But in this case, what we're saying is that, more than that, here we're saying that Ruba Kekula means that even the part that didn't have what was required, it should be considered like it happened to that part. That's not something where the Torah says Ruba Kekula. As we discuss this subject of Ruba Kekula, the Achronim discuss, what does Ruba Kekula mean? Does it mean that the Roiv is considered like you have everybody? Or does Ruba Kekula mean that it's enough to have Roiv? It's not that Roiv makes like it's everybody participated. But what the Torah teaches us when we say Ruba Kekula is that Roiv is adequate. Where is the Nafkamina? Nafkamina is, the halacha is that of course, in order to be able to eat a bird as kosher, animal as kosher, you have to shecht. And you have to cut the simen, the simonim. What happens if you cut most of the simen? Then it's fine. But what happened if you cut the entire simen? at the end of the cutting of the siman, you disqualified the way you cut it in a way that it disqualifies the shechita. Now we'll see like this. If you say that what Ruba Kekulei means is that you really need the entire thing that you're shechting. Ruba Kekulei says that if you shechted most of it, it's like you shechted all of it, but really you're supposed to shecht all of it. So if you're supposed to shecht all of it, and you did something that would disqualify the shechita at the end, that disqualifies it entirely. If Ruba Kekulei, however, teaches us that it's enough to do the rive, so here you did the rive. And once you did the rive, you need not do any more. Says the Gemara, Maskula Rav Yosef Chanina. Hi, this pasuk of Yigachenu that we're discussing in our shiur today, but Nazatamik Siv, is referring to a person who we often discuss in our shiurim, who became Tamei during his term of Naziris, that has to cut his hair after he's mitar himself and bring the kabbonis and then starts from again. Our Mishnah is speaking about a person, a nazir who didn't become tamei. It's speaking about a regular nazir who completes his naziris term. That the halacha, as we keep on learning, is that when he completes his naziris term, he has to cut his hair. And there we're learning here in our Gemara today, that if you don't cut all of your hair, it's going to disqualify, and it won't be considered you fulfill the mitzvah taglachas. But how can we learn this halacha from that halacha? That's by Nazir Tamei, and we, in the Mishnah that we quoted at the beginning of our shiur today, was talking about Abba Nazir Tar. Says the Gemara, Machkul Abba Reva, the Amoraim from Eretz Yisrael were laughing. They thought that this wasn't a great question. Michti says, Nazir Tamei Devatar Menolon. This halacha that we just discussed, that when a Nazir Tamei becomes Tar, and before he begins to count as Naziris again, that he has to use a razor for that taglachas. Where do we learn that halacha from? Menazir Tar Yalef. There is no pasuk that teaches that that haircut has to be done with a razor. But as we've been learning in our shiurim, there are psukim that teach such halacha by Nazir Tar. When we learn the halacha of a Nazir Tar, of a Nazir Tamei from a Nazir Tar, says the Gemara, just like we can learn the halachas of a Nazir Tamei from a Nazir Tar, so too, Leilasi Nazir Tar of Leila Nazir Tamei. We can learn the halachas that apply to a Nazir Tar from a Nazir Tamei. A man Nazir Tar Tamei, and we will learn that just like by Nazir Tamei, Tishayish Taisaris, if he didn't cut all the hair of his head, he left over two hairs that were not cut. The loy klum of it, the halacha considers it as if he did not take the proper haircut. Hachinami, so too, by Nazir Tar, will the halacha be Tishayish Taisaris, if you leave over two hair, not having cut those last two hairs, the halacha is like klum, the halacha is it's considered that he did not do the haircut properly. Ask the Gemara. By Abai. So now Abai says, we're learning over and over that the Nazir, when he has to take a haircut, has to remove all of his hair. He leaves over two hairs, then it's not considered a proper haircut. What's going to be the halacha? Nazir Shigilech, the Nazir took this haircut. The Shiyash Saras, and he left over two hairs that he didn't cut. And the moment that he didn't cut those two hairs, the halacha is that it's not considered a proper haircut. And then, Samach Roshoy, now the hair that's on his head that was shaved regrew. And now he cut those last two hairs that he had not cut originally. Mahu, Mima Akvi. Will it be considered that he did the haircut properly or loy? And the way the Rishonim and Achronim explain this Gemara is, do we say that at the end of the day, he cut all of the hair on his head? Or does the halacha say that he has to, as the Rebbeinu Peretz explains, that he has to remove all of the hair on his head? He has to be in a state where all of the hair on his head was removed. And here, all of the hair was never all removed at the same time, because when he cut the first two, when he cut the first time, he left over those two hairs. And yes, he ultimately took off those two hairs, but when he ultimately took off those two hairs, the other hair on his head had regrown. And therefore, the question is, what will be the halacha? So, of course, the Karen Ira points out that if when the person now approaches to cut these two hairs, which he should have cut originally, and he didn't, and now he goes and he had the opportunity, as we just explained, for the other hair on his head to regrow, where he goes now and he cuts the entire head, he'll be fine. The entire discussion now, Gemara, is that when this person is taking the second haircut, he's only cutting those two remaining hairs and not recutting the original hair. The Shita explains that when we speak about his hair regrowing, it's only if it was enough time, a shear that we discussed previously, a measurement that we discussed previously, that the hair that grew was long enough that it could be bent over till its root. Because, says the Shita, if that wasn't that much of a growth of a hair, we're learning over and over in our shiurim that the hair has to, that hair that isn't that long is not considered not the hair that's that long is not really considered hair that grew. Moreover, says the Karen Ira, the discussion in our Gemara is strictly by taglachas, and he explains why it is strictly by taglachas. So says the Karen Ira, because with the Eved, if the Nazir did not take the haircut at all, but he completed his Naziris and he brought, maybe not necessarily even all the Kabbanis, but he brought some of the Kabbanis, it's considered that he finished his Naziris. Whereas, and therefore, we can maybe be more lenient with the taglachas. However, says the Karen Ira, if the taglachas was absolutely essential, there would be no room for the Gemara's question. Certainly, the halacha is that you have to cut, that you would have to have all the hair cut at the same time. There's an interesting shaila similar to this, where somebody was hired, discusses the Chishukei Chemed, to paint a table. And he came, and instead of finishing and painting the entire table, he only painted part of the table. Now, a year later, he comes to complete the job. But by the time he comes to complete the job, a good portion of the table, paint from a year ago, already started to fade. And the question is, no time was the table ever completely painted fresh. And therefore the question that he discusses is, what will be the halacha? Will be halacha that this person who hired him has a legitimate claim not to have to pay? Because he could say, you never gave me a freshly painted table. Or can the painter say, look, I painted the entire table. I might not have painted it all at the same time, but I did paint the entire table, and therefore I'm deserving my pay. So at first glance, one should suggest that this is actually the question that's being discussed in our Gemara. But in actuality, it's not the same question at all. And the reason why it's not the same question is because, as we explained when we spoke about Naziris, that Naziris is a situation where, when we speak about Naziris, the Torah says that you have to cut all your hair. And perhaps that's all what the Torah wants. The Torah wants that all of your hair, all of the Nazir's hair, should have been cut. And it was all cut. The fact that it wasn't all cut at the same time doesn't necessarily make a difference. However, explains the Chishukei Chemed, when I hired a painter to paint my table, the halacha is that I want a freshly painted table. If somebody doesn't, and if that's not what was delivered to me, then that's not what I asked for. And if it's not what I asked for, then the halacha certainly is that I should not have to pay, even though he could claim, the painter could claim, he painted the entire table. But that's not what was my expectation, that I should have a table that doesn't look completely freshly painted, because by the time he painted the second half, the first half had faded. By Rava, so now Rava asks another question. Nazar Shigilach, Nazar that cut the hair of his head, v'nich shtei saris, and then he left over two hairs, v'gilach achas, and now he cut one, v'nishra achas, and the second hair fell out. Mahu, do we say that since at the original haircut, he had left over two hairs, so if he left over two hairs, it's not considered a proper giluach. Moreover, that now he only cut one hair because the other hair fell out. That may be not considered a proper giluach. Or, again, as we keep on saying, that the point of what we're trying to accomplish is that he should have his entire hair removed from his head. And that is what happened. What's the difference? How it happened? Amalei Rav Achmed Diftel Ravina. Gila, the halacha is, Gila ech Sarah coming by Le Rava. Ask the Gemara, what would be the halacha if a Nazir, as he completes his Naziris, cuts one hair at a time? He certainly was Mekayim the Mitzvah. There's no requirement that as a Nazir cuts his hair, he has to cut all of it together. So, what would be if a Nazir started cutting his hair, and he's doing one at a time, and he's left with two hairs, and one falls out? What would there be any question? Elaim of Nishra Achas, what happened was that he took a haircut. The Gemara's question is, he took a haircut. He left over two hairs. And now, Nishra Achas, one of those two hairs fall out, and the one that's remaining, Gilch Achas Machas, Mahu. And the Gemara's question is, that is the haircut of one hair considered a valid halachic haircut? Amalei, says the Gemara, Giluach Ein Kan. The Gemara answers the question that Rava is posing, and he says, we don't have a proper Giluach, and Sar Ein Kan. Says the Gemara, I don't understand the statement. Isar Ein Kan, if you're not considering this haircut as if the hair was removed, Giluach Yesh Kan, why is it not considered a proper Giluach? Says the Gemara, Hachkam, what he meant to say was, Afal Pi, Shaseir Ein Kan. If we look at this Nazir, he doesn't have any hair. However, he didn't remove the hair properly. Mitzvah Giluach Ein Kan, the hair wasn't removed properly. And what the Gemara is suggesting, explained the Mefarshim, is that in order for the Nazir to have fulfilled the mitzvah of Giluach, he has to actually remove it with a haircut. And since we don't view these haircuts as proper haircuts, then he didn't fulfill the mitzvah taglachas. Says the Mishnah, Nazir chayfif, Nazir may straighten out his hands or wash his hair, straighten out his hair or wash his hair. Mefaspis, he could put his fingers through his hair if his hair is tied together. Avaloi soirit. He's not allowed to comb his hair because in that case, as we're going to see, there are really two pshatim in this halacha. One reason is because it's considered a psik resha. When you use that type of a comb, it's certain that you're going to cause hair to fall out. And since it's certain that you're going to cause hair to fall out, that's why it's asur. Another pshat is that the person who puts combs his hair that way is certainly intending to remove hair. And since it's certain his intention is to remove hair, that's why, as a Nazir, he may not do it. So says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah that the Nazir chayfif mefaspis. The Nazir is allowed to comb his hand with his hair with his hand, even though it's possible that by doing so, he's going to cause his hair to fall out. Says the Gemara, Mani, whose opinion that does that represent? Says the Gemara, represents the opinion of Reb Shimon. That Reb Shimon says throughout Shas, Dav Hashem Miskaven Osir. The Dav Hashem Miskaven Mutter. That somebody who does something without the intention to do something wrong is not considered as he did it intentionally, and he's a mutter. But then asked the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah Avalai Sairik that you're not allowed to comb his hair. Says the Gemara, doesn't that seem to follow Asul Rabbanan? Doesn't that seem to follow the opinion of Rabbanan? Because the Rabbanan say you're not allowed to do something that will cause your hair to fall out, even that wasn't your intention. So ask the Gemara, is this not a problem? That the Reisha, the first end of the Mishnah, seems to represent the opinion of Rav Shimon, and the Seifa seems to follow the opinion of Rabbanan? Amar Rava, to which Rava explains, no. Kula Rav Shimon hi. The entire Mishnah follows the opinion of Rav Shimon. Kol HaSoirik, but explains the Gemara, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, the Kol HaSoirik, whoever used a comb in this fashion, certainly Lahasan Nimim Dodos Miskavin. His intention is that he wants to remove hair. And that's not considered that, therefore that's not considered Dov Shedim Miskavin. And the way some Achroinim explain the Gemara's teretz is that the Gemara is, because the question is, Rashi and Rishonim explain that it's a psik reisha. So is it a psik reisha? Is that the pshat in the Gemara's teretz? Or is pshat in the Gemara's teretz that he is intending to remove hair? And since it is intention to remove hair, that's why it's aser. So many Achroinim explain that there really is no question. And they explain that this is really one and the same. What the Gemara means to say is that since it's for certain that if you're going to use this kind of brush, your hair is going to, that you're going to be removing hair, so then it's considered like you were mechavin, that you had intention to remove hair, which of course a nozer may not have. The Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shabbos, Aruch Chaim Siman Shin Gimel Sif Chav Zayin, discusses about one using a brush, a comb, on Shabbos. And the Mechabes says, Osel Lisrik B'Masrik B'Shabbos, one is not allowed to comb with a comb on Shabbos. V'oya filo oisim sh'oisim sar chazir, even if the bristles are soft pig hairs, she afshir shloyef kru saris. Certainly some hair will come out. But the Ramah adds, amuta lochef l'sfasus b'yad, you're allowed to put your hand in your beard, and that's not osu. So the Kav HaChaim points out that even though the Ramah is being lenient and allowing you to put your hand in the hair of your beard, presumably the same in the hair of your head, it's only if you're careful that it should not be a situation where hair will certainly come out. Because if it's a situation like we just discussed in the Gemara, where hair will certainly come out, that's a psik reisha, and that it would be also. Interesting question. We know that during the 9 days, the halacha is we're not allowed to take a haircut. And what would be the halacha? May one comb his hair with this brush, with this comb that we're discussing in our Gemara today, where it caused for certain for hair to come out. So Taisu says that the reason we're not allowed to take a haircut during the 9 days is not because there's an issa to remove hair during the 9 days. The reason we're not allowed to take a haircut during the 9 days is because we're not allowed to do anything that causes yipui, that causes beautification. That is a direct contradiction to the avelus that we're supposed to experience. Somebody who just is combing his hair, combing his beard, is not doing something which represents a contradiction of, is not doing something which represents a contradiction to his avelus. And therefore, one may use a comb, any type of comb, during the 9 days. The Magen Avraham does, however, in Shimon Shin Gimel, Sifkat Nechabez, does want to differentiate when it comes to combing a beard between a comb that will certainly, as our Gemara discusses, cause hair to come out versus a comb which will not necessarily cause hair to come out. And he takes the lenient approach that if it's not going to be hair, that though it's not a comb where hair will certainly come out, it's mutter. Says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel disagrees with what we learned in the previous Mishnah, and he says La Yocha Ba'Adama, he's not allowed to use earth that was used for hair treatment. It causes the hair to come out. And the way the Rosh explains that the Rabbi Shmuel holds that this is a psik resha, that when you're going to use this type of earth, it's a psik resha that your hair is going to come out, and that's why it's usur. So explains the Rosh that the machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and the Tanakhama is not a machlokes actually in halacha. They're both agreeing that where it's a psik resha, that the hair will come out, where a nozer may not use that on his hair. The machlokes is this a psik resha? Is it for certain that's going to cause the hair to come out? Rabbi Shmuel holds it is. The Tanakhama holds it isn't. However, I saw that there are other Rishonim, and that's the way the Rosh learns these two Mishnayos. However, I did see that there are Rishonim that suggest that the Machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shmuel is actually different. Tanakhama, as we learned, holds that if it's a Dovah Shei Meskavin, if it's not something that you intended to do, it, as long as it's not a psik resha, it's mutter. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel is going to be machmer on a Dovah Shei Meskavin, and therefore, even though using earth is not certain that it's going to cause your hair to come out, but it may cause your hair to come out, and he's holding now that a Dovah Shei Meskavin is usur. And that's pshat in this Mishnah. The advantage of learning this pshat, because according to the pshat of the Rosh, it turns out that the Tanakham Rabbi Shmuel are arguing over a metzias. They're arguing over a fact. Does Adama cause for sure hair to come out or not? And usually we try to avoid explaining a machloikis in that way. And Bailu, Nation, how do we understand Rabbi Shmuel's statement? Ibailu Nation Masaris is a satanan. Is Rabbi Shmuel saying that earth will cause hair to fall out? Is that what he said? You're not allowed to use earth because there is a type of earth that certainly causes hair to come out. And therefore, Rabbi Shmuel said, don't use any earth. Ask the Gemara Lamai Nafkamina. What's the Nafkamina between those two different pshatim in what Rabbi Shmuel said? It says the Gemara, going to Ika Adama Deloi Masra. You have earth that certainly doesn't cause hair to come out. If we're going to say the Pshat in the Mishnah is that this earth causes hair to come out, well, the earth that we're speaking about now doesn't cause hair to come out. If we know for certain that this earth doesn't cause hair to come out, shaper, then the halacha would be that you're allowed to use that earth. If we're going to say Pshat Rabbi Shmuel in the Mishnah is, don't use any earth, because there is a type of earth that causes hair to come out, then the halacha would be klal klaloi. You would never be allowed to use any earth, even if it's an earth that doesn't cause hair to come out. And the Gemara says, Teiku, it's not clear how to understand the Pshat in Rabbi Shmuel. We know that a person who does an Aveira cannot be punished with Malkus or Misa unless right before he does the Aveira he had a Asrah. That Adam came to him and told him, don't do what you're about to do. And if you're going to do what you're about to do, you're going to get whatever punishment the Torah prescribes under those situation. And then the person who's about to do the Aveira responds to the person who gives him Asra. I'm Nas Kain and the Oysa Masazu. I don't care what you're saying, I'm going to do it. That's the halacha. He'll get the punishment, whatever the punishment should be. The halacha, of course, that there's a requirement for Asra is only when somebody does an Aveira b'mezid, not b'shagig. So says the Mishnah, Nozer shay yishayso yayin kol hayom, a nozer that's drinking wine all day long, ein chayiv al achas. He's only chayiv one malchus. V'amalai, however, if he was told, al tishta, don't drink, Ahu Shoy said every time after he was given Asra, he still drinks. Chayva kolach svachas. And we have here a very fundamental machloikus rishonim in why is the halacha different when if he gets a separate Asra or he doesn't get a separate Asra. Rashi learns that the halacha is that asra is only effective if the asra is given toch kedei dibur. So if the nazir is about to drink wine and he's given the hasra and then he drinks the wine, so he violated the asra and he'll get the punishment. But if afterwards he doesn't, but if he drinks again and he doesn't get another asra, so before he drinks the second time, there was more than toich kedei dibur between the original hasra and the second time he drank wine. And therefore that hasra is not considered a valid hasra. And since it's not considered a valid hasra, that's why he wouldn't be chayiv. Other Rishonim, however, have a different approach to understanding the halacha that we just learned in the Mishnah. Their approach is, if the nazir is drinking wine all day long, and there were no hasras in between the drinking, these different times that he drank, it's all considered one maaseh shtiyah. It's all considered one act of drinking. And since it's all considered all one act of drinking, there's only one malchus. What separates the different times that he drank? What causes that they should be considered separate acts of drinking? The separate hasra that he gets. So the hasra is what separates that. But the Rambam makes a very important point in his Bira, in the Pirush HaMishnayos here. He says, even in the first case of the Mishnah, where the Nazir keeps on drinking all day long without separate hasras, and therefore the Mishnah says he'll only get Malchus once, the Rambam says that's as far as what Bezdin punishes. Bezdin will give him only Malchus once. But certainly, as far as Shemayim is concerned, as far as what way HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at it, he certainly did multiple averis. Tosfos Masechet Gittin, the Ramban, ask a question: how could a nazir's hasra ever be considered a valid hasra? We know that in order for hasra to be considered a halachically valid hasra, it's not allowed to be hasra sofik. So they ask, every nazir, as we've learned so many times in our Masechtas, has the right to have his naziris annulled. He can go to the Rav and make that his naziris, the Rav will be matter than naziris. If that's the case, it turns out when he was warned, it's not for certain he's going to get Malchus, because there's always the possibility that he's going to be matter than naziris. And that's therefore, every time we give asra to a nazir, it should be considered hasra sofik. And why should it be considered a valid hasra? So the Rishonim respond that since in most situations, a person who takes upon himself naziris will remain a nazir permanently, he's not going to go to the Rav to have it undone, that's enough to make it not be considered hasra sofik. Another pshat that they suggest is that he has a cheskas nazir. And since he has a cheskas nazir, that's why that it's not considered hasra sofik. The Ramban, that's Tosfos Terutzim. The Ramban has a different teretz. The Ramban's teretz is that when would it be considered a hasra sofik? When it's in the person who's doing the averis, it's in his control not to make that what he did was not really an avera. But in the nazir situation, yes, there's always the possibility that he may go to the Rav, and the Rav will be matter the nether, but the reality is, it's not something that's in his control. And since it's not in his control, that's why it's not considered asra sofik, even though there's always the possibility that the Rav, who we're speaking to here, will possibly be matter the naziris. Continues the Mishnah with similar dins. Hayah Megaleach Kol Hayom, if he was taking a haircut all day long, cutting his hair all day long, the halacha is Ein Chayiv Alachas. He's only Chayiv once. Amaloi, but if he did it all based on one hasra. But Amaloi, if he was told Al Tegalech, don't take a haircut every time before he cuts his hair, He gets a separate asra, chayev a kolach svachas. Similarly, hayim etamil meisim kol hayoyim. the Nazir was exposing himself to Tumah all day long, and it was all based on one Asra, the Halacha is Enech Chayev Alachas. He'll only get one Malkus. However, Amaloi, Al Tatame, but if he was told, don't become Tame separately every time before he exposed himself to Tumah, Chayev HaKalachas V'Achas is Chayev for everyone. So of course, the Rishonim try to understand, why does the Mishnah have to teach us these three halachas, which are really essentially the exact same halacha repeated all the time? So the Rishonim explained, if we would have only had the halacha by the wine, we could say that a nazir who drinks, and we're going to have this halacha, we're going to be learning these halachas, a nazir who drinks wine doesn't undermine his naziris. He did an aveira, but he's still a nazir. And therefore, we could suggest that for every time he drank wine, he's going to have to get malchus. But a nazir who becomes tamei, as soon as he becomes tamei, the halacha should be that he's not a nazir anymore. And therefore, since he's not a nazir anymore, he shouldn't chayv malchus for the second time. By on the other hand, we would say by tumah is very strict, because we've learned that a nazir who becomes tamei forfeits his entire naziris, whereas a nazir who takes a haircut only loses, as we've discussed and will discuss, 30 days. And therefore, we had to teach us each one of the halachas separately. Says the Gemara, Itmar, Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Huna, Mikrei Molad Davar HaKosef. The Torah, when it speaks about the nazir, says, La'aviv l'imai, La'achav u'achosai, la'yitamilhem b'maisam. The Torah speaks about every type of tumah, tumas maga or masa, that the nazir came into direct contact with a mace, tumas oil, that he went into an oil where is a mace. And in all of these cases, the Torah Akdosha says that if a nazir becomes tameh, chas v'shalom, he's chayiv malchus. So ask the Gemara, then the Pasuk also says, al nefesh mace layavai. So ask the Gemara, Kshomer, Al-Nefesh Meis La-Yavoy, what is the reason for it to be stated? La-Sira La-Tuma, the Pasuk is coming to teach us, the first Pasuk is coming to teach us, the Pasuk of La-Yitamal B'Maisam is coming to teach us that he's not going to become Tamei Meis, and the Pasuk La-Yavoy is La-Sira Al-Abiya, to teach us that he's not allowed to go into a house where there is a Meis. And if he was told not to do any of these averis, as we just learned in our Mishnah, he'll get malchus for each averis separately. Aval tumah, for tumah, if a nazir touched a mace, and then he touched the mace again, loy, he will not be chayiv malchus for the second time he touched the mace. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Rav Yosef Omer, that's Rav Huna's opinion. Rav Yosef Omer, Elokim, he made a shvua, even if a nazir became tamei by exposing himself to a mace, and then he becomes tamei again, he'll be chayiv for the second time he became tamei, even though it didn't really change him. Because once you're tamei, you won't become more tamei the second time. Dama Rav Huna, nazir shayim beis hakfaros. Rav Huna says a nazir was standing in a basic forest. So once he went into the basic forest, to the cemetery, he obviously became tamei. And then he became exposed to another mace, the nagabai, even a relative or different person, chayiv. But the question is, why is he chayiv for the second time? He's already tamei. He's not going to be able to become more tamei. Once you're tamei, you're tamei. El lav shmam. You know, from here we must learn that Amar Rav Huna, when the Torah says la yavai, to teach the afilu tumah v'tumah, that even though the nazir is already tamei, it doesn't make a difference. So Abaya asks on this, the Braisa teaches us. We're talking here about a kohen gadol, who obviously is not allowed to become tamei. Kohen gadol, he has a mace on his shoulders. V'shita loy mace v'mace achar. And now another mace is put on his shoulder, or he comes in contact with, whether the second mace is a relative of not, the Nagaboy, and he touches the second mace, Yochel Yechayiv, we would think that he should become chayiv for exposing himself to the second mace. Tamaloimer, the pasuk that speaks about the isser of a kohen gadol becoming tamei, v'lo yichal es migdash alakov. Who is not allowed to express become tamei? Only somebody, me she'ena mechulul, who isn't in a state of being profaned. Yotzeh, when we speak about this kohen gadol shemuchul v'ayman, he already profaned himself by becoming tamei. So we see that once you're tamei, you're not going to become, you don't get a second malchus for becoming tamei a second time. Amalei, so Baya says, so that's a question on Rabbi Yosef. This brisa is clearly different than what Rabbi Yosef said. Amalei, so they said to him, B'tikshlach masnisen, why, what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah said, if he's metamel himself, he had only one hasra. And he's a metamel mesim kalayim, and a chayiv alachas. However, if he had separate hasras, Ramaloi, he was told, al tatame, he kept on being warned, don't become tame, chayiv kalachas vachas. But ask the Gemara, why? Why don't we follow the concept of hametame v'kayim? He's already tame. So now, says the Gemara, El Kasha Adodi, we have here a stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah seems to be teaching us that a person who's already Tomei could still be Chayiv for becoming Tomei another time, whereas the Braisa is teaching us that once you're Tomei, you're not going to be considered Tomei by exposing yourself a second time. So in order to explain the Gemara's teretz, when we speak about mace and we speak about tumas mace, there are various levels. There's something that's known as there's the mace himself, who's avia avos hatumah. There's somebody who touches the mace, is in contact with the mace. He's an avatumah. He's going to be tummy for 7 days. And somebody who comes in contact with such an individual with avatumah is called a rishon latumah. He's tummy only for that day. He goes to the mikveh, and after the night comes, he's tar. So says the Gemara, the way to reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa is like Kasha. The Braisa that says that you don't become Tamei a second time is talking about Chaburim. That he was holding the second mace while he's still holding the first mace. And therefore, he hasn't accomplished anything with holding the second mace. Kan, our Mishnah is talking about a case where Shlai B'chaburim, he touched the first mace, but after he touched the first mace, he let go, and now he touches the second mace. Now, if he's not touching the first mace anymore, if a person would come in contact with him, that person would only be tummy for 1 day, as we said. But now that he's touching the second mace, the person who touches with him will be tummy for 7 days. So therefore, the second tumah that he exposes himself to accomplish something, and if accomplishes something, that's why it could be a new tumah. Ask the Gemara. The tumah b'chaburim, this halacha, that if you touch a person who's touching a mace, is tummy for 7 days, is a din d'oraisa, ask the Gemara. Ham Rabbi Yisrael b'Yosef, Ham Rabbi Yanai, lo'am v'tumah b'chaburim, el v'trum v'kotshim. That for truma v'kotshim, we're machmer that this person is going to be tamei for 7 days. Avil and Nazir and Rosh Pesach in other areas of Aloch Eloi. It's not going to be the same. V'yamer deraisa ma'ishno, how can we differentiate between truma v'kotshim versus Nazir and somebody's making a Pesach? Says the Gemara, can this day Rabbi Yanai said that truma b'chiburim is only drabonon, and that's why we were only machmer by truma v'kotshim b'chiburim. Adam by Adam. Reuven is touching Shimon, who's touched Levi, who touched a mace. So in such a case, Reuven is tamei deraisa only for 1 day, and Midrabanan is tamei for 7 days. Kan, whereas the Mishnah, who says that he's chayiv 2 times, b'chibura Adam a mace. Reuven touched Shimon, and Shimon is actually touching a mace. In that case, Reuven is going to be tamei for 7 days, says the Gemara. But now that we're learning this concept, that if you're not accomplishing anything, with the second tumah, you won't be tamei. Tamei tam v'kayi. Tamei rebeya nami kama tam v'kayi. Ask the Gemara, if somebody's already tamei, and then he goes into oil or mace, why will he be chayiv? He's already tamei as much as he can be. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Yochanan Kamba Bayis, when is it going to be that he was tar and went into a house where there's a mace? So in that case, the beer and the tumah come at the same moment. Kamba Sada, but it was a place where it's no oil or mace, then he won't get malchus twice. Because if he touched two maces at the same time, he won't get malchus on the second lav, because he only got one asra. And if he's already holding a mace, and then you want to expose him to a mace a second time, he won't be tamei, because you haven't accomplished anything either, because he's already tamei in the first place. So the Gemara is saying, if he can become two different tumas at the same time, that's where the Torah says you get two malchus, one for loyitama and one for loyavai. But in a case where the second tuma is identical to the first tuma, and he already has that first tuma, he won't get malchus for the second exposure to tumah.